Time to talk sport on this Friday morning. Warwick Hadfield joins us. Hello, Warwick.
Hello, Fran.
In the AFL, Geelong's all-round game was too good for the Crows at Adelaide Oval last night.
Yeah, Fran, look, it was a big win for the Catters. 4 goals, 99-75, because they didn't just have the five-day turnaround. They had to make the trip across the border to that always inhospitable place for Victorian AFL sides, Adelaide. Despite that, they had, to use that lovely old term, winners all over the ground. Dangerfield, Selwood, Ablett. And in the final quarter, Gary Rowan, back home where he belongs in blue and white hoops.
Breaks my heart, that.
Coupled with some good efforts from the newbies, it's heartening stuff for Geelong, 3-0. But as Enzo the Butcher keeps reminding me, it's only early, Warwick. Tonight, though, it's late enough for supporters of Melbourne and Essendon, a defining moment for both teams yet to win a game this season. But hopefully it's also a defining moment for those weary of the ceaseless, mindless stuff that Australian rules football suffers in the modern age. The Demons will use their banner to make a stand against bullying and name-calling, particularly on social media, but also in the stands where Australian rules football has let develop an unedifying, and you can spell unedifying as you like, culture in which the spectacularly overweight, unfit and unskilled scream the most abhorrent abuse at the elite athletes on the field. I'd like to see that end, Fran.
Yeah, sure. In rugby league, Brisbane embarrassed at the SCG last night. What happened?
Well, Fran, they're absolutely beaten, 36-4, 7 tries to 1. The last of those, a Harlem Globetrotters effort scored by Joseph Manu that just made mock of the Broncos' defence on the left, on the right, and right up the middle after Anthony Seibold reckoned he'd put the problems on the right side in the Brisbane side to rights. That didn't turn out at all. Even before that, though, Brisbane had no answer for the deft work of Cooper Cronk, apart from trying to knock him into oblivion, an incident to which has led to
I've Broncos. Just seen that on the television screen as you said that very second, knocked out.
Yeah, but that's led to the Broncos' Tevia Pangai being placed on report. There are two games tonight, New Zealand against the Gold Coast, and this supposed grudge match between West Tigers and Penrith. Ivan Cleary, of course, the Penrith coach these days, been infamously walking out on the Tigers last year. There will be a little bit of grudge in it, but I think the more important thing is for Penrith to try and actually win a game of football and get their season back on track, Fran.
Okay, and in surfing, Kelly Slater. Is Kelly Slater the heavyweight who went one bound too many, or is that writing him off too early?
Well, Fran, it's a question that was asked yesterday on the Gold Coast, and more in sorrow than in anger. This man's a legend. In fact, you might even say he's the legend of men's surfing, 11 world titles. But coming back from injury at the age, he's 48, when most athletes are looking for the slippers and a different sort of pipe, he finished last in his first round heat the day before and then last in his second round elimination heat yesterday. He said he didn't read the D-bar waves all that well, but he was a tad surprised some of his rides were scored so low. Owen Wright won that heat to go through to the third round, as did the defending champion Julian Wilson. And Stephanie Gilmore, aiming for an 8th world title, is through to the third round of the women's event, along with a host of other Australians, Sally Fitzgibbons, Nikki Van Dyke, and young Macy Callaghan, the teenager who's going to find out just how good her talents are, because she's going to be up against Stephanie Gilmore, Fran.
Yeah, well, that would be great. But, you know, with Kelly Slater, of course, everyone's ride has to come to an end, so to speak, but also everyone can have a bad day, so let's not write him off just yet. In football, 16-year-old Mary Fowler set to get a run for the Matildas in today's games against the US in Denver.
Yeah, look, the Australian coach, Ante Milicic, has indicated he wants her to have some game time, maybe even a lot of it, as he assesses his squad before the World Cup. Now, Fowler is an interesting story, even at the tender age of 16. Despite having already played 3 games for Australia, she remains eligible for both Ireland, where her father Kevin was born and for whom 2 of her siblings have already played, and for the Australian side. Since taking over from Alan Stajic, Milicic has made it a bit of a priority to have her choose Australia, with the aim of potentially making her one of the youngest Australian players, male or female, ever to go to a World Cup. She is that good. Now, this match against the United States, the best team in the world, also gives Milicic the chance to assess plenty of his other charges too, Fran. Depending where you are in Australia, it's on the television around about midday today.
Okay, great. In cricket, another teenager shining at the moment, leg spinner Georgia Wareham, getting a full-time Cricket Australia contract.
Fran, there's nothing that gets the juices of Australian cricket lovers flowing quite like the prospect of another champion blonde-haired leg spinner. and Wareham, all of 19, has all the makings of being that. She played men's cricket in the bush when not much higher than the stumps, and then stumped the best in the world, helping Australia win last year's T20 World Cup, taking 2 for 11 in the final against England. She replaces another spinner in the squad, Amanda Jade Wellington. Otherwise, the list of contracted players is pretty much unchanged, which reflects the success of the Australian women in all forms of the game in recent times. As we know, they're the best one-day side in the world, the best test match side in the world, and they won that T20 World Cup last year.
And in the AFL, just finally, ahead of tonight's game against the Bombers, stunning evidence Melbourne did tank back in 2009.
Yeah, this has been produced by Michael Warner of the Herald Sun, and he's one of the few journalists in Melbourne prepared to write the stories the AFL doesn't like. They even threatened to take away his accreditation once, but that hasn't stopped him. Trying desperately to appease all the betting agencies that sponsor the sport, the AFL bludgeoned the Demons coach Dean Bailey into accepting punishments for acting prejudicial to the AFL, but they wouldn't use the word tanking. That was a step too far. Now, he denied any wrongdoing to the day he died, and the evidence revealed by Warner suggests he did his utmost to resist pressure for Melbourne to throw games that came from much higher up, senior club executives intent on getting priority draft picks. But they couldn't be charged because charging them would have meant the loss of poker machine licences. So gambling again, if nothing else, it's some comfort for Dean Bailey's family, Fran.
Warwick, thank you very much.
Good on you, Fran.